This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you discussion on trade deal between India-European Free Trade Association, paving the way for mutual growth and prosperity. The participants are Professor Gulshan Sachdeva from Center for European Studies, JNU, and Lalima Anija Dang.
Recently, India signed a $100 billion free trade agreement with a four-member European bloc and will lift most import tariffs on industrial products from these countries in return for investment over a period of 15 years. Well, for this and more, we are now joined by Professor Gulshan Sachdeva from the Center for European Studies, JNU. Welcome, sir, to Akashvani Studios.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what are the key objectives of the trade deal between India and the European Free Trade Association, EFTA, as we call it?
Well, I think this, if you look at the whole agreement, this is a very comprehensive agreement. So it's not just only about trade in goods, it's also about trade in services. This is also about intellectual property rights. This is also about investment promotion. And you also have, in fact, even the issues like government procurement, competition, sustainable development, and issues concerning labor issues and human rights, all are covered in this agreement. And even there is a very strong chapter also on dispute settlement mechanism. So it means, you know, the kind of agreement we have now with these EFTA countries. EFTA countries, as you know, these are four countries, you know, Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein. These are four countries which are outside the European Union. And we are also negotiating, you know, three separate agreements with the European Union, one on trade, one on investment, one on geographical indications. At the same time, we also negotiating a separate trade and investment agreement with the United Kingdom. So in that sense, this is a continuation of our process of linking our economy with Europe. Since they have different entities in Europe, so we are negotiating separately. But these four countries are outside the EU, but of course, they are also very much linked with the EU economy because three countries except Switzerland, they are also part of the European Economic Area. And even Switzerland has separate agreements with all EU countries. So practically, all these economies are also part of the EU economy as far as, you know, their trade is concerned, as far as their movement of capital and labor is concerned. So we have to look into that in that totality. And these economies, although they are very small economies, as you can see, I mean, economy in the sense by numbers, I mean, they're only 14 million population in all these countries. But still, if you look at their trade, this is roughly equal to our foreign trade. So it means economically, they are quite important. And in certain technologies, you know, you look at Switzerland, particularly, you know, all the food industry, and then you also have precision industries, you know, watches, and you can see chemicals, pharmaceuticals. So they are quite good in many of the same is also true with Norway, because they also have a lot of technologies, the green technologies, the renewable technologies. And then the Norway, they also have huge pension fund, which is a sovereign pension fund, because they also have, you know, a lot of oil and, you know, gas resources. So for that, they have created a separate fund, which they keep investing into the rest of the world. So they have a lot of resources and technologies, which we want to tap. So that's why if you look at this agreement, they are talking about not just only about trade in goods, which of course very much part of that, and also trade in services. At the same time, there is also commitment by these countries to have, say, you know, 100 billion kind of investment in the next 15 years in India. As you know, I mean, you know, the investment, of course, is a decision by the private companies. So the government can only kind of facilitate. There are a lot of facilitation measures that have been listed in the agreement. But of course, the decision has to be by the companies to invest in India. In the last 20 years, about 10 or 11 billion FDI has come from EFTA countries, but mainly from Switzerland and also to some extent from Norway. But the sovereign pension fund from Norway, you know, in the last few years, they have invested about 24 billion already into the Indian share market, you know, in more than 460 companies in India. And all the major companies are part of that. So it means there are a lot of possibilities. You know, they are looking into the expanding Indian economy, how they can bring their technology and raise their scale, the kind of scale which India can provide to many of those companies. So there is a kind of win-win situation for both. At the same time, this is also a test case for India, that if we are able to implement successfully this trade and investment, very comprehensive agreement with EFTA countries, so we'll be more confident when we are negotiating with the European Union. Similarly, European Union would also know that If India can have an agreement with EFTA countries, so you can also have with the EU, and the certain which are the areas where we have actually given access to investment and also technology and goods services to those companies. At the same time, which are the areas where India will not be able to open its market, particularly for agriculture sector and small scale industry and, you know, many of the specific, you know, because it's a very, very detailed, comprehensive agreement. So we have shown confidence, these are highly developed economy, to have this agreement with them. At the same time, we have also kept options that if something go wrong, then of course we can always take certain measures. And they have agreed for all those clauses.
Yes, when you talk of it being comprehensive, there are 14 chapters of this agreement, and it has taken many, many rounds and many years to come to this level. So when we talk about products, we know that Swiss watches and Swiss chocolates are popular in our country, and many of our products also will find a place there. There would be certain sectors which would be affected when it comes to this deal. Which are those sectors which will be affected most from this deal?
You know, if you look at the list, you know, India has offered about 83% of its tariff lines. And similarly, EFTA countries are offered about 92% of its tariff lines. So it means, you know, 83% of our goods which are coming from these countries, they would be more or less covered by this agreement. So what are those 17% goods which we have not really allowed? So obviously there are certain products in the, you can say, in the agriculture sector, which we will not allow others to enter. Similarly, in the small scale industry or in the dairy industry, or you also have some other products, particularly, you know, like if you are importing wine. So the wine which is of, you know, less than $5 per bottle, those are the, no tariff change has been allowed, but only in the very expensive ones. So they will not really affect the Indian industry because we are not competing at that particular section. So the mass products where Indian companies are producing many products, whether in the dairy industry, agriculture, or in other food industry, so those should not be affected. And that also would be, you know, it's not that immediately I think we'll open the market for those products. It will take 5 to 7 years till the time actually those products will come in. And even after that, if we see that some of the products are flooded into the Indian market, if that happens, then still we can actually go back and there are provisions that we can stop some of those products. But for most of the Indian products, you know, already tariffs are very low in EFTA countries, so they may not really get immediate major surge as far as the tariffs are concerned. But what benefit they would get is through the non-tariff barriers. Because, you know, many of our textile products, you know, they face a lot of difficulties there because of the local rules and regulations of about sanitary and other measures. So those are the things which are taken care of. So maybe they'll get better access now to these markets. So one can hope that our exports will also go up in some of those areas.
Yes, certainly we do expect and hope that this will broaden the markets for our Indian exports. If I could talk at a micro level, sir, the pharma industry has an IT industry. These two have seen during COVID period, they went on a high, and our generic drugs are very popular in the developed nations as well. How do you see IT industry and the pharma industry being affected because of this agreement?
Well, IT industry definitely would like to have certain boost through this agreement, because one thing is very clearly mentioned here is about mode for services. This mode for services is the movement of natural persons, because many of our IT industry companies, what they do is, you know, their comparative advantage is they hire people in India, then they take projects in outside other countries, and then they send people for a limited period of time, for 6 months to 1 year to 2 years. Those people are not employed there. They are employed here, but at the same time, they go and implement projects there. So that's the kind of model which they have been using, and now they are facing certain difficulties while implementing this, particularly in the United States and in other countries. There is a possibility that there is a certain provision is there that, you know, they'll be able to send. So they might get some boost in the IT companies in expanding into these markets. And as these countries are also very much linked with the other European markets, so they might just set up base there using certain provisions of this particular FTA, and then they can expand later on into the European market. And anyway, we are also negotiating with the European Union also. So one can only hope that this is a kind of template which also like to implement when we are finalizing our agreement with the UK and also with the European Union. So there is a hope now that, you know, what was happening for the last many years, between 2014 and 2020, we did not really sign any major trade agreement. Now in the last 2-3 years, the mood has changed because our exports have gone up, economy is doing well. So as a result of this, there is a confidence in the government and also confidence in industry that we also need more markets, because I also need facilitation from the government and through these agreements. So we have seen agreements with Australia, with UAE and with other countries. Similarly, now this will be the first major agreement in Europe. And these are highly developed economies, and in certain areas, of course, they are very, very competitive. And pharmaceutical is the second which you have mentioned, the area. Now, this is one area where Indian pharmaceutical companies are already working very closely with Swiss companies. I mean, initially when Indian companies were set up, many of the pharmaceutical companies and also the chemical industry, you know, they had very close linkages with Swiss companies particularly. Now they have grown big, particularly we are more grown in the area of generic kind of drugs. And these are the companies where the real experiment, real research goes on in companies in Switzerland. So those are the medicines which are really expensive. So now there is also a very important clause within this agreement is about the intellectual property rights. So we do protect intellectual property rights of those companies, but at the same time, we would also like more of our pharmaceutical companies to link with some of the companies in Switzerland, where they can actually improve the quality, and it's not just only generic drugs, so they can also go into high quality. But, you know, of course, the bulk of our products are in the generic ones, but they are worried about intellectual property rights issues, so those are taken care of. So this will help our pharmaceutical companies also to create more linkages with the European companies.
Professor Sachdeva, this deal will also encourage exports, Indian exports, to go up, as I said, and also the fact that we expect those companies from developed economies to come and invest in our country. By virtue of both these factors, we expect our employment opportunities to go up in our country?
Well, obviously, if the kind of investment which is aimed in this agreement, about $100 billion the next 10, 15 years, and already, as I said, that pension fund from Norway, very much active in our stock markets, they have already invested about $25 billion here. But here we are not talking about just investment in the stock market, we are talking about greenfield projects, particularly in the foreign direct investment. So they have capacity, they have resources, and they are looking at expanding Indian market. So they obviously, if there is an opportunity, I mean, they would like to invest into the Indian market. The kind of investment which has been aimed here, if we are able to realize that, and then obviously this is going to generate more employment opportunities in India. This is what certain numbers have also been mentioned by policymakers. But these are, of course, long-term projections and trends. But so the good thing is that India has shown confidence that, you know, we can also have an agreement with highly developed countries like Norway and Switzerland and the EFTA countries, which are also highly linked with the European economy and the global economy.
And Professor Sachdeva, is there any provision of monitoring and evaluating the outcomes of the trade deal, number one? And secondly, we do have free trade agreements with Mauritius, UAE, Australia so far, also with Sri Lanka, Bhutan, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Korea and Japan. How is this trade agreement different from those done with these countries?
One is that many of those trade agreements, apart from Australia, Mauritius and UAE, which we signed recently, most of the agreements were actually done years back. So compared to that, I think this agreement, which covers a lot of issues, as I mentioned in the beginning, and it's not just only that, because if one had to have agreement with, particularly with the European Union and now also with EFTA here, there is a clear mandate to the policymakers there that you have to have issues concerning sustainable development, labor issues and human rights also inserted within the agreement itself. So very fine, I would say, balance has been made here that India has made commitments, because India anyway committed to human rights and labor issues and also to sustainable development. So we have shown that confidence that yes, we can have those clauses here. At the same time, we can also have a very strong review clause here, which was not there in many of the earlier ones. So that, I would say, is a major difference between this agreement and some of the earlier agreement we had.
Right. Thank you, Professor Sachdeva, for talking to us and updating us with the trade agreement between India and the European Free Trade Association. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on trade deal between India, European Free Trade Association, paving the way for mutual growth and prosperity. The participants were Professor Gulshan Sachdeva from Center for European Studies, JNU, and Lalima Anija Dang. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official.